Hello, everybody, and we are back. Welcome to Season 2 of the All Day SJ Show. I'm your host, Steven Johnson, and I just want to take a quick second and thank you guys for the massive amount of support we had in Season 1. I'm very honored and I'm very privileged that you guys were able to listen to the show, whether it was driving to your job or driving to school, listen to it during a workout, just thank you guys for the support and listening to it. I'm extremely blessed to have your support. And now Season 2 is here, and we're going to start Season 2 off with a bang. I have a very special guest with me. He is an up-and-coming sports writer in sports journalism, specifically when it comes to the NBA. He has been featured on Fox Sports, ESPN, Sports Illustrated Now, and Bleacher Report. He also does great write-ups for Raptors, Rapture, Bulls Nation Net, and Shark Sports. Joining us all the way from Canada, his name is Rajon Johnson. Little bro, what's going on?
What's going on, Steven?
Nothing much, my man. Thanks for joining me. This is the first episode of Season 2, so you know we got to do it big, and I'm glad that you got on the show, man. Thanks again.
I'm honored to be your first guest on Season 2, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And with that being said, let's get right into it. The 2017-18 NBA season. Thoughts on what's going on so far? We've got a lot with the Cavaliers' struggles, the Warriors' dominance, the Celtics' resurgence. Let's talk about around the entire NBA. What are your thoughts on the season thus far?
The season was pretty crazy, particularly in the East. Obviously, the Cavs are pretty bad right now. It took them a LeBron James game winner to win that Timberwolves game. They got very lucky on that. So I got to say it's more particularly in the East. Everything's kind of crazy. The Bulls surprised us beginning, but now they're kind of back to what we thought they would be, the rebuilding team that's kind of tanking right now. The Mavericks, they had Dennis Smith Jr. We all thought he was going to be Rookie of the Year. And, you know, it doesn't look like that now because of Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell and guys like that, which I would say Donovan Mitchell is my pick for Rookie of the Year. I know everyone likes Ben Simmons, but I really like Donovan Mitchell. But everything else in the West seems to be as expected, you know, the Warriors, except for the Rockets. I got to say they've surprised me. Two ball handlers, no one thought that would work out. And yet James Harden and Chris Paul are one of the best backcourts in the NBA, and it's crazy to see how they could work out. So I think kind of that surprised me so far this 2018 season.
Great stuff, Rajon. And, you know, another team in the West that I think we should put up there with the Golden States and the Houstons, not saying like on a team level, but just who you got to look out for in the playoffs. To me, that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. To your point about two ball handlers with CP3 and James Harden, how they've been able to work it out. I think we saw during that recent 8 or 9 game winning streak that Russ, Paul George, and Melo, man, they've sacrificed for the betterment of the team. And when they're on, man, they're on. That's a team right there that if Golden State gets in the second round or the conference finals, or if Houston gets in the second round, that's going to probably be the best series in the entire postseason, man, because with Oklahoma City's firepower and the fact that they're a great defensive team, I think in the playoffs where half-court play and defense rules, I think Oklahoma City is built for that. And that's great for the NBA because coming into the season, everyone was like, oh, Warriors, Cavaliers, part four. What's the point of playing an NBA season when you know it's going to be the finals? I think there's a legit chance that 5 or 6 teams have a shot at getting to the finals. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Golden State's going to get another ring. But it's a lot more wide open than it's been in past years. And that's great for the NBA and the future of it. So great stuff there. You mentioned the Bulls in your assessment of the season so far. Yes, they did turn some heads with that winning streak. They're an entertaining team to watch. That's refreshing to see considering the last few Bulls teams we've had to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew coming into the season that they were rebuilding. But with rebuilding, people automatically associate with, you know, losing and being terrible. the Bulls have been entertaining to watch. It's been good to watch guys like Lauri Markkanen. Chris Dunn has looked like he's going to take the next step. Zach LaVine's looked explosive since coming back from his injury. What's your assessment of this Bulls team now, and how do you like that core in the future going forward with the ability to have two really good draft picks this draft? We'll get to that in a minute. And the possibility to sign some good players in free agency. What are you feeling about the Bulls' future?
Well, everything that you mentioned right there is the reason why I think Bulls could have one of the best and fastest rebuilds. They already have such a solid core with LaVine and Markkanen and Dunn. And now that they can get possibly a top three pick, that's adding another piece to the core. And that's something that, you know, the Sixers have been working on getting with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and all the rest of them. I mean, that's a huge young core that we've needed desperately since we've got rid of Butler and Rose. And I think, you know, with Markkanen's development, he could be something close to Porzingis. And that's crazy to think about, that we already could have a better core than the Knicks, who have been trying to rebuild for a long time now. And I think going forward, Dunn can turn out into an all-star. He's already one of the best defensive point guards in the league. I'd compare him to John Wall right now. Even though his finishing ability right there, and he still needs to work on his shooting a touch, he has a lot of potential as a point guard. He's still young. He still has a long way to go. He's barely played for the Timberwolves. This is like maybe his first true season, and he's really come up big. And with Markkanen, you know, as a rookie, he's still shooting lights out from three. I mean, he's broke some three-point records. I mean, that's really promising to the Bulls, who've been wanting to add some three-point threats. And, you know, even with Antonio Black, you know, coming off the bench in the G League, he's lighting it up as well, and he's a sleeper. Everyone keeps sleeping on Antonio Black, but if he can bring over his scoring potential from the G League to the NBA, I mean, that's a huge sleeper that the Bulls might have picked up. So I think the Bulls' future is promising. All the young pieces they have are all going to come together, and hopefully they can get a free agent. I wouldn't say it would happen next year, but maybe 2 years from now, when they finally get that young core with the top pick, I think they could sign someone big, and, you know, they could get someone who could mentor those young guys on the team, and, you know, we could go really far. We could start competing in, like, the next 3-4 years, and that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, man, that's great stuff right there, Rajon, and just the way how hard this team plays, man. Like, there's nothing like a young team in the NBA. They compete all 82 instead of, you know, like a veteran team who's just playing to get to the playoffs. It wouldn't shock me, like you said, we get these two draft picks. Maybe they sign a veteran, like another Justin Holiday type of free agency. I know they say they're committing to the rebuild. I know they say that they're in it for the long haul. But with just the way this team competes, the effort they put into it on both ends on the court on a night-in, night-out basis, and the talent of the core that me and you have alluded to, I wouldn't be shocked if next season they were competing for 8th or 7th seed. Now, I know that's not the goal. You want to stock up as many draft picks as possible, but I think this core has proven they're just too talented to roll over and lose games. You saw that when we had that very impressive winning streak. They're competing in games they have no business to compete in. Now, with that being said, as a young team, you need to learn how to win. That game against Sacramento that they just had, they blew a 21-point lead to one of the worst teams in the NBA. Not saying that's a bad thing. You are in the business of rebuilding right now. You are in the business of tanking for the highest pick. But as a part of a rebuild, your young team, your young core has to learn how to win and close out games. So over these next 30 games, it'll be interesting to see how the dynamic continues to change. Will they shut LaVine down? Will Markkanen, Dunn, et cetera, be shut down? And will they continue to go all in on the tank? But it's very exciting to be a Bulls fan, man. I tweeted this one day that with the core, like you mentioned, the Markkanen, the Blackneys, the Dunns, the LaVines, I'll even throw Denzel Valentine and Bobby Portis in there. This is the brightest the future has been since prime Derrick Rose. Let's go back to the around the NBA. As I mentioned at the top of the show, you're joining me from Canada. And let's talk about you guys' basketball team up there. We got the Toronto Raptors who are doing their thing as always. They're consistent. They're one of the better regular season teams in the NBA. Do you foresee with the Cavaliers' turmoil and the Celtics still getting in that groove of adjusting to one another with Kyrie, do you see this as being the season where Toronto can really make some noise in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
You know, that's always tough to tell with the Raptors. They're really great as a regular season team. We just saw them dominate the Celtics a game before. I'll give Kyrie some credit, though. He did come off a back injury, so I'll give him some slack there. But I think right now they're the top team in the East. I put them above the Celtics. But the question is, in the playoffs, how they're going to perform. If you always watch the Raptors in the playoffs, it's always DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry who just tend to completely ice themselves out of the game. And they shoot terribly. They're kind of just ghosts. You know, they don't really do anything. And that's the reason why the Raptors never go far in the playoffs. It's because, you know, their stars don't show up. And when your stars don't show up in the playoffs consistently, I mean, that's a problem. That's something you got to think about. Now, this year, they're more committed to ball movement. They're less focused on isolation plays from DeRozan and Lowry all the time. So hopefully with their young bench as well, that has been pretty surprising. Their bench is one of the best in the NBA as well. If they can somehow use that ball movement in the playoffs and DeRozan and Lowry can get more involved and not ice themselves out of the game like they have before, then maybe they could push for a finals run. But it's so iffy because you never know with the Raptors. They always seem to disappoint in the playoffs. And I'm hoping this could be this year, but it's really too soon to tell. So we'll see in the first round of the playoffs how they perform. Because last year, they almost lost to the Bucks with just Giannis. There was no Jabari. Chris Middleton was just coming off a huge injury. And they almost lost. And it's crazy to think about that. So hopefully the Raptors can prove themselves this year. But it's so hard to tell with them.
Absolutely. Great stuff there, man. And I agree with you about the Raptors. I think that when it comes to Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, that you hit it on the head. The postseason is the time to shine for your stars. And they seem to be kind of limited when it comes to the postseason. A lot of people assess them around the league and they're one of the best pretenders of the league. Like you say, regular season champs. But when it comes to the playoffs, they become cold fish. But I think with the commitment to ball movement and the commitment to more of a team game instead of an ISO game between Lowry and DeRozan, I think that's for the betterment, man. You got one key cog right in the middle, and I kind of compare his role to what Steven Adams' role is on the Thunder. Jonas Valanciunas, man, if you guys could get that man touches, he can feast on what I call today a small ball NBA where they're routinely playing centers at 6'9", 6'10". You get that big guy some touches in the middle, you let him go to work, wear down opposing teams' interior defenders, he could be crucial for you guys. We've seen the success that Steven Adams has doing that in Oklahoma City. And I think that that's the critical piece right there for a Raptors finals run right there. His name is Jonas Valanciunas. Rajon Johnson joining me for the first episode of Season 2 of the All Day SJ Show. You can follow my man on Twitter at Ray Johnson NBA. That's at RAEJOHNSONNBA, all one word. Ray, thanks again for joining the All Day SJ Show. Before we wrap up real quick, I got to ask you, what are your predictions for the rest of the season? Do you have a different team coming out of the East? Can anybody stop the Golden State Warriors? Will the Cavaliers turn around? Any other predictions that you have or any other statements that you have about this season?
Well, coming out of the East, it's got to be either the Celtics or the Raptors to me. It depends if the Raptors stars can perform well in the playoffs. If they can, I can see the Raptors coming out of the East. But if they can't, then I'm giving it to the Celtics. I would give it to the Wizards, but it seems John Wall and his teammates have a bunch of chemistry issues right now as the Wizards are playing better without him. So we'll see how that pans out for the rest of the season. For the West, though, the West is hard to tell because as we've seen with OKC and Golden State, OKC seems to dominate Golden State for some reason. And I think it's because of that Paul George, Westbrook, and Melo, they just sacrifice just as the Warriors do. And they're a little better on the defensive end, I would say, than the Warriors. And it's kind of surprising to see how great they play against them when they were so disappointing at the beginning of the season. You also got to give Rockets some credit, too, because they're looking like one of the top seeds in the East. I mean, in the West, sorry. And it's crazy to see that, you know, they can work out. And if they could push the Warriors, I think they could push them to a game six. But I still see the Warriors beating them. So it depends how Golden State and OKC perform against each other. I think that series is going to decide who comes out of the West.
Great stuff, Ray, and I agree with you. I think coming out the East, it's hard for me to bet against a LeBron James-led team. I think that his greatness, and you know me, you follow me. I'm a Jordan fan, I'm a Kobe fan, but right now LeBron he's the gold standard of the league right now. I stress right now, currently, and it's just hard to believe that a LeBron James team won't be back in the finals this year, but you made a lot of good points with the Celtics and the Raptors. They're hungry, man. And this Cavaliers team, they just don't look like they don't like playing with each other. You hit it on the head at the top of the show. They needed a LeBron James, which was, you're a Bulls fan like me. Don't you think yesterday was eerily similar to that playoff game in 2015? Him hit the game winner over Jimmy Butler. I know I'm not the only one thinking that, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a throwback right there. Kind of bring back some hurt feelings. But this time he didn't do it off a technical. That should have been called, so, you know.
We could dissect that all game, man. Like, I mean, him burying a game-winning jumper over Jimmy with Tibbs as the coach, and, man, that's just – but to my larger point, they needed that game winner from LeBron just to get past the Timberwolves. Now, maybe this is the win that turns their season around. I do not know. I think if they really want to get the most out of this team, and this isn't just me being a homer, I think me and you have even discussed this on Twitter. I think they really need to consider starting Derrick Rose at the point guard spot and having Isaiah Thomas add some additional scoring to that second unit with Dwayne Wade. But Tyronn Lue's rotations are kind of suspect right now, so I don't see that happening. But that's just something I think that can be done to solve their problems in the short term in terms of running and gunning and pacing space. So right now, I'll give you this. It's hard to predict who'll be in the finals, but I predict a Cavaliers-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, and I shout out to the Raptors. Like, I'm not writing them off at all. This is just what I predict. I predict Cavs Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And here's my pick for the Western Conference Finals. I'm going Golden State, Oklahoma City. Now, with that being said, those will be two great series. You got the LeBron-Kyrie factor, and you got the star power factor. I made this point yesterday to a couple of family members of mine yesterday. I believe Oklahoma City not only has the firepower, when I say firepower, the star power, like you got Kevin Durant, you got Steph Curry, you have Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, but on Oklahoma City, you got the star power that can match up with them, with a Russell Westbrook, with the Paul George, with the Carmelo Anthony. Steven Adams can kind of X out a Draymond. So I think those are going to be awesome matchups, and God willing, we get those in the playoffs, my man. Ray, I want to thank you again for joining the All Day Yesterday show. This conversation was fun. This conversation was informative. And I really cannot wait for my listeners to check this out when I post it. And what I like to do with my guests is I like to give them the floor to update my listeners on what they have going on with them. So it's your time, man. Let us know what projects you got going on and what you got on the horizon.
Well, I got a lot of things that kind of do it on the background. I'm in the G League a lot. I'm just there talking with players and getting some interviews. Sometimes you'll see some of that work on Spark Sports. I did a Antonio Blackney, what NBA scouts think of him. I had time to talk to some NBA scouts about Antonio Blackney. So there's a lot of undercover G League stuff I have going on right now. And also talking to some NBA teams, hoping to come out to some events and cover that as well. But I'm also thinking about starting a site, and it's going to be covering a new 2K e-league that's coming out. Just talking about like some prospects for that league and who's going to get drafted. The thing is, I knew a lot of people from that community. So now that the NBA and 2K are collaborating on their own league, it'd be nice to, you know, start up a new website and just talk about prospects and things like that and get into the business. So I'm hoping that turns out well, but we'll see where that goes.
Hey man, it's not about hoping. It will turn out well, and I got the utmost confidence in you. I pray that God just blesses you with all that your heart desires, my man, and you're on for bigger and better things, my dude. And again, keep up the good work, keep grinding, and I thank you again for joining my show. This is going to be a great one, man. Appreciate you, Ray.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.